The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last week, as we gathered, I spent some time talking about how we need to ready the soil of our hearts to receive Jesus Christ and to be prepared for his second coming. And I made a reference to the song, the Advent song, "People Look East," is actually a closing song today. And I told, I looked at that second verse, which I had referred to, "Love the Rose is on the Way." And I realized that the four lines of the second stanza of the second verse are really what I was going to be talking about. So I told Barbara at one point, if I would have been quicker, I would have entitled my homilies that. But that second verse starts out with, "Furrows be glad, though earth be bare," and how we need to be bare soil to be able to receive Jesus Christ. That makes sense. And this week, the second part is, "One more seed is planted there." Receiving the seed. But John the Baptist, and actually our first reading from the prophet of Isaiah, reminds us that we need to do something first, and that is remove the trees that do not produce fruit from our lives. And so John the Baptist telling us the axe is at the root, stretched out, ready to chop it down, produce good fruit. And once that field is bare, except for the things that produce good fruit, to receive the seed. And what's the seed? Well, today in these readings, we have the seeds of justice and peace, of mercy and self-control, and all the fruits of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit. Everything is there to receive those seeds. And we have two ways in our modern days that we see where the seeds of repentance, righteousness, of peace and justice really can be. It's actually peace and justice. And I'll talk about the first thing first. We see that we can have justice and we can have peace if we impose it. So might makes right, perhaps. That we just, the loudest voice, we get it. And so we legislate and we make laws. And there's nothing necessarily against laws, but we cannot legislate morality at times. We certainly, if something's illegal against the human person, we ought to have laws against it, but we can't legislate peace and justice in that way. Because there's whose sense of justice, whose sense of peace? And we live in a culture that's unfortunately relativistic. Everything's relative. So your opinion, our opinions as Catholics mean as much as those who don't believe in the dignity of life, let's say. And so we have a problem if might makes right. But there's the other side, and that's where the church stands firmly. That righteousness and justice, peace, comes from God alone. That seeds that God plants of righteousness and peace in our lives comes from God. And we have to allow them to grow in us. But that's the seeds that come from repentance. And the Greek word here is metanoia. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew, throughout his gospel, uses that term kingdom of heaven. Luke uses kingdom of God. And some have said, well, Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, and so he doesn't want to offend them, but it's the same thing. The kingdom of God, God's will for this earth is coming. And so we have to metanoia ourselves, to repent. But repentance isn't just about walking away from sin. It isn't just saying, well, I'm choosing not to sin anymore. But it's about really living a new life, a new way, because of a change of heart, a change of mind. To change our entire perspective of life. That's what metanoia is. It's not just that. And so that's why John the Baptist goes after the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He sees they're coming out along with the rest of Jerusalem, Judea, and all of the Jordan area. He sees them coming out because all the people are coming out because they realize that they are sinners. They realize that they need something. They need repentance in their life. And John gives them, transforms a Jewish ritual, mikvahs, which is a ritual bath. He transforms that into a way of repentance, of acknowledging that we are sinners in need of God's mercy. But it was just a baptism of repentance. Not that it makes it less. But it wasn't the sacrament of baptism that we have. Baptism that we have is a baptism of regeneration, of birth, of being immersed in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. John's baptism is just of the repentance, of the metanoia, that they wanted this grace of metanoia, but it didn't give the grace. But all the same, he sees the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Did you catch what he calls them? This is how you make friends and influence people, right? You brood of vipers. Who told you to escape the wrath that is coming? He calls them snakes, venomous snakes. Why? They're there just simply because everyone else is there, perhaps. Produce the fruits of righteousness. And what he's saying is, you might be saying you don't want to sin anymore, but you're not living in conformity with God's will for your life. Produce the fruits of righteousness. It's not just enough, John seems to be saying to them, to the Sadducees and Pharisees, to just say, we've cleared our soul of sin. They haven't received the seed yet. The seeds of repentance that bring forth righteousness, that bring forth justice, that bring forth peace, that bring forth happiness and grace and all those things that God wants for us. We might say, if John the Baptist stood here before us, would he say the same thing to us? Are we just here just because we're fulfilling an obligation? I hope not. Are we here just because we know this is the right thing to do? I hope not. And during this Advent, are we here just because we recognize we are sinners, or do we recognize our need that God calls us to so much more? That God calls us to lives beyond our imagining, lives of righteousness, of justice, of peace. Isaiah, in today's first reading, gives a magnificent vision of what that kingdom looks like. Lions eating hay with the ox. You know, this is not natural. Children sticking their hands in the lair of adders, poisonous snakes. This is not natural. This is God's peace and justice brought to fruition. That's what happens when we have those seeds. John the Baptist in Isaiah is called the voice. I realized on Friday night I shouldn't be reading Greek late at night when I'm really tired. But he's a phoné. So in a real way, John is a big phoné. A big voice in the desert who calls to repentance. And he calls us too, yet. It's not enough just to say we live good lives. It's not enough. But to allow the seeds of justice and peace to be planted in us, to grow in us. This weekend, John the Baptist tells us there's one more seed to be planted. One more seed to be planted there, to be planted in our lives and our hearts. And then we have to do something else about it, to let it grow, and we hear about that next week. As we come this week again to to recognize it's not enough just to say we've left a life of sin, but to say now, how do we live the life of grace